It's good to be here this morning. Good to see everybody. Brother Marty called me last week. I don't know if I'd fill in for him today. I told him I couldn't do that, but I would be here. Oh, I don't know how many of you know it, but I moved my letter over to Crossroads, and I've been out with the flu for a couple of weeks, and then Glenn called me and wanted me to be down to Nancy Creek next Sunday. And then Brother Marty called, wanted me to be here this Sunday. And God's been blessing over at Crossroads, been having members join, and it's been being a good time to be there. And I had to stop and think about it. I mean, sometimes you hate to leave home. But I realized that Brother Marty was wanting to go down to South Georgia and stay over through today. So I told him that I'd do the best that I could, and Lord willing, we'll have a good time. If he don't come, we ain't going to be here long. I guarantee you that. I'd like to turn over this morning to Matthew 1:1. And I know you're going to say, yep, that's the book of a generation of Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham, Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas. Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar. And as you read down through here, I'm not going to read all of it. I thought I would, but I sort of backed out and I get trying to say all these different names. If you look down, you're going to see that you've got a lady that dressed as a harlot and had children with her father, named right here in this lineage of Jesus Christ. You're going to find that you had a king that killed a man right here in this lineage of Christ. Then we're going to find out that it's all tied to history. You see, Matthew is talking to Israel, the old Jews, and they put great stock in their lineage. But whoa, wait a minute. Here's Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the one that they crucified, right in the middle of it. He can trace his lineage back 400 years to Abraham, or else he can trace it all the way back to Adam. You've got a history. You've got something. I read in a little book that there was a Hindu feller that was reading First Matthew, and he says, wait a minute, this has got a history. This is something that's real. But Hinduism is on mythology. He converted and become a Christian just because of reading the lineage. Have you ever stopped and looked back over ours? We don't go back that far in it most of the time, most of us. But the lineage of where we come from. What name you have today is a whole lot depends on what your fathers before you have done. We've got people that's in the heating and air conditioning business because daddy was. We've got farmers that were for years and years and years farmers, because that's the way they were raised up. We have here a carpenter's son, so they thought. But we find out that really he wasn't. We turn over to Acts 1, if I can find it. And we find where Luke is right, and he says, the former treatise I have made, O Theophilus, and all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. You see, Luke, back in the Gospels, was sort of an odd character. He wasn't an Israelite. He wasn't even a Jew. He also wasn't an apostle. But he was a doctor. He was an educated man. He went with Paul. And we're going to find that it says, whom also, talking of Jesus, whom also shew himself alive after the passion of many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking the things that pertain to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, ye have heard me, for John was baptizing with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? You see, the apostles and all the Jews had the idea that the kingdom of heaven was going to be right here in this time. Right here on the earth, they were going to overthrow Rome and everybody else, and he was going to reestablish his kingdom and put Israel back in charge of everything. But as you remember, in another place, he told Peter to put up his sword, and he put the ear back on the high priest man and said, this is not, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is in eternal heaven. It's spiritual. It's not natural. But as we go to our natural lives today, we get a foretaste of that we're going to have. And it's wonderful when we can do this. And I know I'll probably be rambling some. My mind's not staying exactly where I was at. But and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time of the season which the Father hath put in his power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall witness unto, ye shall witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judah and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the world. And when he had thus spoken these things, they beheld, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were steadfast looking into heaven, he went up. Behold, two men stood by him in white. It's bad when you start trying to read ahead of yourself and you're saying what you think it says. I'm sure y'all don't never do that. I'm not the best reader. Y'all already know that. I don't have to tell you. But which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into heaven? This same Jesus which you see, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye see him go into heaven. The same one, not another, that you see going away is coming back. You know, that's what we're looking for. If you remember when Jesus Christ raised from the tomb, I remember that his clothes were laying off to one side, but the napkin that was over his face was neatly folded and laid down. I have been told that Jews had a custom that when the head of the household got up from a meal, if he was coming back, he would fold his napkin up real neat and lay it down. That signified to his servants, I'm not done, I'm coming back. If he was done, he'd wad it up and throw it in the middle of the plate. That meant he was finished. That napkin being folded up means Christ is coming back. And that's what we're looking for. That's a whole lot of folks can't wait till he comes back so they can find out who's going to heaven and who ain't. But as a fellow told me one time, it's going to be, and what did the Bible say, in the moment and the twinkling of an eye. Faster than that. Just a glimmer. You ever seen a little child and just see the light just hit his eye just so and it just flash? That's how quick he's coming back. That's how quick we're all going to be housed home in heaven on that last day. But yet, we still try to figure out who is and who ain't. Just as the apostles here kept thinking, Lord, when are you going to come back and set up your kingdom right here with Israel that we might be rulers over all? How often? I know I'm rambling. I'm going to go somewhere else that I didn't even think I was going. But you remember on the day when Judas kissed our Savior, when he betrayed him, when Peter cut the ear off the high priest? You remember Jesus saying in that particular text over in Luke? He said, whom seek ye? And they told him, and he said, I am he. Says they fell back as dead men. He fell back. And then he asked him again. Said, whom seek ye? And he said, who they sell? And he said, I am he. Let these go to their place. Because it had said in the Old Testament that he had lost none. That it might fulfill that scripture. Are we doing what God tells us to do? Or are we doing like Peter did? Peter followed Christ afar off. He didn't go home. He didn't go to his place. He followed. He denied Christ three times. If he'd went home, you reckon he would have denied him? He wouldn't have been in the place where the evil was at. He wouldn't have been warming by the fire. Just a side thought, I know I'm chasing rabbits, but it's wonderful when we can stop and realize that we do have that God that knows everything about us. He knows what we're going to do before we do it, but he don't make us do it. Now, you figure that out. That's sort of like trying to explain the three-in-one God. I know there's just one God, but there's three Godheads. But it's wonderful when we can just stop and realize that we have a God that not only had a lineage, that not only can be traced all the way back through his mother to Adam. As you read the lineage in Luke and you read the lineage in Matthew, you're going to say they're different. They'll both be the same all the way down till you get to that great king they had called David. Then you'll find where it changes. Because one of David's sons was in the lineage of Joseph. The other son was in the lineage of Mary and Christ. When you look over in the third chapter of Luke, you'll find there that he started with Jesus and went all the way back to Adam. But being Matthew was talking to the Jews, who already had the oracles, he started with Abraham and come down to Jesus. He was coming with the lineage of Joseph, who was supposed, thought to have been the father of Jesus. But my Bible clearly tells me that Joseph knew not his wife till after he had the child. It also in the 21st verse of 1 Matthew plainly tells him that she shall fear not to take Mary for thy wife, for that that is in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bear a son. He shall be called Jesus. He shall save his people. No question about it. I wonder, Darius, as I was looking, you know, Matthew wasn't a real good Jew. Somebody said, what you mean? Well, he was a tax collector. You know, none of the Jews like tax collectors. We don't even like them today. But it's wonderful when you stop and think that our Lord and Master, when he saw Matthew, said, follow me. He didn't say, I got something I got to do. He didn't say, wait. You know, I would, but it's too late. Could you come back tomorrow? It just says that he got up and went with him. How many times has he called on us to do something? And we looked at our watch. We realized it might be too late. Or maybe we just hadn't quite got time to do it today. But maybe tomorrow. When God called you, did you immediately join the church? Or did you do like some of us did? Put a few fingerprints in the back of the bench. Till just all of a sudden, the Lord worked in you both to do. To will and to do of his good pleasure. I remember sitting right back over there during an association meeting. When it got more than I could stand. But you see, I had one thing in my favor. There was a lady sitting on the aisle. To me, she must have weighed 200, 300 pounds. And I said, Lord, you know I would go, but I can't get past that lady on the end of the aisle down there. And as I looked back, she would go. Nothing new. Lord's got a way of making the way for each one of his little children. When we think, we can't do it, you're right. We can't. But Jesus Christ can. He's our strength. He's our all in all. He's our everything. He's the one that had the lineage that you can prove that he was here. You can prove who his father was. You can prove all the way down through. You can even prove that he was dead, buried, and raised on the third day. There's infallible proofs in here. Somebody says, yeah, but how do you know God exists? Well, you just go back to the Genesis 1:1. And it says, in the beginning, God. And you say, yeah, I know it says that over there, but maybe that's mythology. Really? Where did Adam come from? Where did all this genealogy we just talked of come from? If there was nothing. And we had a God that stood on nothing and took nothing and spoke this world into existence. And we say, you know, I don't know what to say when I go out to visit people. What did he tell the mad Gadarene when he come to his right mind and Christ was ready to leave? And he said, Lord, let me go with you. He said, no, you stay here. Go back home. Tell your people what good things God has done for you. But I don't know the Bible. That ain't what he's telling you. He's not telling you to sit down and say, this is here and this is here and this is over here and this is the reason we believe in in the irresistible call and all this. He's not telling you that. What does my Bible tell me and Peter that God is? It says God is love. He's not all these rules. Not all these things that we go by. We realize that God does what he wants to, when he wants to, and nobody can stop him. Well, you telling me that God had something to do with me joining Union Church? Stop and think about it. Were you hunting him when you found him? I think we were all real happy right where we was at. Till God showed us exactly where we stood. We found out that we was a son of God. That day? No. We found out that we needed something that we didn't have. We seen a church, or y'all did. Y'all seen this church called Union. And them folks seemed like they were having a good time. I mean, they had trust in the Lord. Seemed like they prayed for things and it'd get done. Folks would be sick, they'd pray, and God would bless. And you heard somebody say, you have not because you ask not. Seek and you find. Ask and it'll be given to you. It's just sort of wonderful when you can stop and look at what a great God we have got. Does God take people and put them in certain churches? I think so. You say, well, I don't know about that. Did you choose your own natural father and mother? Or did you just realize that you had one? There's a love that can't be explained that makes one person go to this church, another one go to that church, or even one that's been in a church for 50 years up and move his letter to another church. Somebody said, I just don't understand it. Was he following the preacher? No. If God tells you it's time to move, believe you me, there won't be no pressure where you're at unless you do it. I don't know why, but I know he's blessed. A little place called Crossroads. It was just almost, looked like it was about ready to blow away, to start flourishing. Just like that stick, or rod that Moses had, a dry stick that budded. God save you. You ever get thinking, it's time to quit. Think what Christ did for you. He loved you so much. God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ says, here am I, send me. He said, all that thou hast given me, I've lost nothing. If things start to look a little bit hard, go to the one that's able. In times of sadness, times of sickness, times of sorrow, we've got one that knows every pain that we're going through. one that come and suffered here for us. He was truly man, meaning 100% man, and he was 100% God. I can't figure that out yet either. I know he was because my Bible says he was. God said he was. He said he was a son of God, the only begotten of the Father. It's great we can realize what a great Savior we do have. And as y'all know, I got a bad habit of stopping at weird times. Not now. Seems like that time. As I look back at the clock in the back, it ain't even got to 11:30 yet. But the Lord, I feel, has wonderfully blessed us today. And I'm not used to taking over about 30 minutes. That's the reason I knew when Brother Marty said, "Will you fill in for me?" It ain't going to work. I can't take that whole hour like you do. But if God be with me, it'll be worth something. The congregation that does come out. For what you've got has truly come from Him. Because I had another way I was going, and all of a sudden it didn't work. All I knew to do was go with Him. So I thank you for your guidance, Brother Deacon. Y'all got a song?